It's November 18th, 2018. This is Fancy Ramen. I'm Neil.
I'm Cookie.
And I'm Scott.
Today, amongst many other topics, like what the hell we've all been doing, Scott, you had a specific topic. I figured let's just cap off with this topic.
Yeah, there were a couple games I was looking for to come out in 2018, and then they never did. And it came to my mind that, oh, I should check up on these because their release dates were 2018 and it is the middle of November.
Like Shenmue 3.
Like Shenmue 3. Yeah, exactly. I've been chomping at the bit to play it and it's not coming out. Neil, why is that?
Because they needed to work on taking out all of the extra expressions.
They have to remove those so they can give higher definition and resolution to the eyebrow hairs on Shenmue, the main character of Shenmue 3.
His name could just be Shenmue.
I mean, who knows? No, the two games that I was looking into were Griftlands and Wargroove. And Griftlands is made by a developer that you guys are probably familiar with, Klee Entertainment. No, you're not familiar with them?
No.
Okay.
Wait, is that how you pronounce that? Huh.
Or Clay? I mean, I'm not 100% sure.
Nope, yep, it's Clay. It rhymes with play.
But they've done Mark of the Ninja, Oxygen Not Included, Don't Starve. I'm a big fan of the games that they've made. Invisible Ink is another one. I think Neil played that, right?
I also played that.
Lachlan played that. I did not.
Okay.
Oh, they did Shank? Nice.
Crypt of the Necro Dancer. Wait,
are we sure this is not just games they're publishing?
Yes, I'm sorry.
I don't think they did Crypt of the Necro Dancer for actually development. At least based on Clay.com.
Wait, which one? Mark of the Ninja?
No, Crypt of the Necro Dancer. Yeah, oh, I think that was a different company too.
I'm wrong on that one.
But you're spot on for the rest of it, I think. Shank, Sugar Rush, Mark of the Ninja.
Invisible Ink.
Oh, they did N Plus. That was one of their first ones. If you ever played that, the pseudo ninja platform. Yeah. Anyway, long story short, I've been really excited for Griftlands. Their game that they're developing it seems to be a bit of a, I guess, role-playing game of very neutral morality. It's got some pretty art, and the combat system looked good on the trailer. But when I went to see why it hadn't released yet, I found out that it is in that, let's see, since October 29th, so actually pretty recently, posted on the Steam forum that they're delaying the game and not giving a date because they're not satisfied with how it has, with what the experience is so far, which I'm totally fine with. I'm absolutely cool, especially with a game that has maybe some form of like story or writing that's necessary to delay it instead of just open it up for like beta or alpha. I guess alpha, like Steam is wont to do with other games, like say The Long Dark. But it's interesting because on their post, they're also talking about how when they were working on Invisible Ink, they went from developing it as a multiplayer mobile game to a tactical combat game, finally coming to the stealth espionage element. So like,
weird.
I'm fine with the delay, but I wasn't sure if you guys have also been checking up on some other games that you were really hyped for and either forgot about or just have been like waiting to receive news on.
Nah, I pretty much live my life. Next week's Thanksgiving?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, Pokemon comes out tomorrow?
just on the topic as a whole, like I don't think there are too many games. I will note, I did actually check out Griftlands during E3 and I thought it looked pretty interesting. It's one of those like quirky, and I use that term specifically regarding the engine, like one of those quirky narrative games, similar to like 80 days for that matter, not so much in actually how the game plays, but just like how it's right. not a format you would normally see. And something like a narrative game or visual novel usually has a completely different appearance compared to games like Grifflands. Yeah, I don't think there's really too many games that like I'm even that excited about. I was so excited that I'm actually keeping tabs on it.
Maybe it's just that I bumped into something the other day that I don't think it even reminded me of Grifflands. It reminded me of Wargroove, which is the Chucklefish Entertainment game that's being developed that is kind of a...
Advance Wars?
Yeah, it's essentially a medieval Advance Wars that I'm also very interested in because I played a ton of Advance Wars back in the day.
So isn't the medieval Advance Wars basically just Fire Emblem, though?
Fire Emblem? But Fire Emblem has, like... Fire Emblem is, like, heroic units, right? Every unit is that's on your team is not some, like, nameless lancer or, you know, like... There, I don't know. I think Fire Emblem and Advance Wars have two distinct types of like thinking behind them. In Advance Wars, you're trying to manage your financial resources, and also units are expendable. While in Fire Emblem, ideally your units are people that you're going to want to keep alive from fight to fight.
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
So Advance Wars lets you make the hard decisions without feeling like a terrible person because they give you a dialogue as they die. Instead, they're nameless grunts that you can just march off to whittle down some like enemy fortress.
Do you think that maybe we're just entering a period of time that now all of these super hype games or very publicized games are kind of out now?
The AAA titles are all out before the holiday shopping season.
Which, like, there's only a few that I can think of even being that eager about in the next year. At least that we have, like, specific release dates for. And I'm really struggling to come up with one other than Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Fire Emblem. King of Hearts 3. Next version is coming out. King of Hearts 3.
Kingdom Smash Hearts Bros. What?
Yeah.
3.0.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, apparently. Yeah. Smash Bros. Is, like, a given. But that, I mean, like, that's Smash one Bros. Game that I don't really give a damn about ever.
Which is funny, because as soon as I saw the Piranha Plant deal, I went and bought the... downloadable copy and expanded my memory just for that.
Do you think Chain Chomp is going to be a shadow version of
Piranha Plant?
Yeah.
No.
Why not? They literally have the same body. They have a giant head and then they have like a very thin body, if you want to think of it that way.
But he doesn't sit on his chain. Like his chain isn't supporting his massive weight.
Yeah.
Hey, and you know what? Simon Belmont didn't have like basically any of the moves that he has in that game, but he still has them, okay?
But that's so different from like...
It's completely not different. Simon Belmont, they're basically just using Richter Belmont's moveset, and they're like, well, Simon Belmont probably knew how to do these things.
Oh, I'll also say that more people will be more familiar with Chain Chomp and the Piranha Plant than they would be with Simon and Richter Belmont. As someone who's a avid player of all the Castlevania games and know all the lore and have written hours and hours of fanfic, I haven't done any of that.
but he has done that for Chain Chomp slash Piranha Plant. So,
oh my gosh,
so
I ship those two.
I did the terrible thing of going through a video series that covers the storyline of all the Castlevanias, at least the ones that are still considered canon. Holy crap. If you ever wanted to feel like video game writing was bad, that is one series to really dive into.
Don't you complain to Cookie. He has to deal with like making Kingdom Hearts 3 work.
Yep.
Kingdom Hearts 3 lore. Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3 fanfics.
I know the story of what's going on, mostly, pretty much. It's fine.
For Kingdom Hearts or Castlevania?
For Kingdom Hearts. I've got Castlevania. There's a castle. Dracula's there. What else do you need to know?
That, like, Death and Dracula are both the biggest jobbers. The number of times that Dracula's been defeated and resurrected, like, to the point where he finally gets killed once and for all, I'm sure at that point he's like, you know what, guys, let's just get this over with. And I think it's about time you guys just once and for all get, you know, destroy Dracula.
Until he reappears in a Mega Man game.
It's funny because it kind of seems like you're referencing Curse of the Moon, because, spoilers, at the end of the true ending of Curse of the Moon, your main character ends up waking up in basically a Mega Man game.
That's very weird, and I did not know that.
It's pretty great.
Funny story. Well, now you know. I hit record. The thing never actually recorded.
That's fine.
I'm recording now.
At this point, I will now jump into good audio.
Sweet.
So while we're talking about like very specific topics, I did want to touch on some recent news. I think it just happened last Tuesday, but Microsoft ended up acquiring two developers. Did you guys hear about this?
I do remember hearing about this.
Who'd they acquire this time?
Well, the first one is Obsidian Entertainment.
And I knew about that one.
And then okay. They also acquired InXile. So,
what's that one?
InXile, I think in particular, developed Wasteland 2, which was a Kickstarter game from a few years ago.
Yeah, and Wasteland 2 just happens to be a successor to Wasteland, which was the predecessor to Fallout.
Which is the one that's right before Wasteland 3, apparently.
And
okay.
I mean, who knows if we actually get Wasteland 3. I don't know how well Wasteland 2 did financially, but that game did not. I really liked Fallout 1 and 2, and Wasteland 2 was supposed to be just kind of more of that, and it did not resonate with me at all. And speaking of which, like I feel bad saying this, but I don't think I enjoyed any of the Obsidian games nearly as much as I was hoping to, like Pillars of Eternity 1 and 2, and Tyranny.
Well, Wasteland 3 is all over InXile's website, and I don't care enough about what they've gotten.
Oh, Jesus, it is made in development.
Obsidian Entertainment. Oh, they did. Apparently, they funded or helped with South Park and The Stick of Truth, apparently.
Yeah, that tile-based combat was riveting. Oh, wait, Stick of Truth. Never mind. That Mario RPG-like QTE combat was riveting.
Oh, no. They made Neverwinter. I don't care.
Obsidian made Neverwinter Nights 2. So Obsidian is best known prior to their stint of independent work as working with Bethesda and essentially making the sequels or spinoffs, if you will, Fallout New Vegas, Neverwinter Nights 2. I think they also made Knights of the Old Republic. I could be wrong on that one. And
yeah, one of the expansions for it, the Sith Lords. Oh, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, the Sith Lords, yeah. So with Microsoft acquiring all these companies, I think there was only one that really affects me. Otherwise, these are all games that I've seen and haven't really enjoyed. They haven't been my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. Is it the Forza developer?
Well, that one, but that was so long ago that doesn't really count. It was Team Ninja.
Oh yeah, okay.
Are you sure? Because I remember you were confused at first thinking Team Ninja did Ninja Gaiden and a few other games.
But they did Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice.
And Heavenly Sword, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
Oh, they do the Dead or Alive games.
Oh, yeah, okay.
No, wait, hold on. I gotta walk this back a bit. Team Ninja is still an independent company or whatever with Koei Tecmo. Yeah. You're thinking of...
Oh, this is the second time we've made this mistake.
This is.
They got Ninja Theory. So those are the guys that have only... They've done like Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, and a few other...
Oh, well then never mind. I don't care about any of the... Oh, I guess they got Devil May Cry.
They did DMC, but not the core Devil May Cry games. DMC was the spinoff.
They got the new Devil May Cry. But so yeah, all their acquisitions. I don't I'm hoping that it's getting like a good share of market share for these single player experiences. Is that what they're going after, I guess?
I don't know. Like I thought the Ninja Theory acquisition was interesting just because, yeah, they've done Heavenly Sword, DMC, not to be mistaken with, you know, any of the numbered iterations. Hellblade.
Enslaved, Odyssey to the West. That was a fun playthrough.
Well, and not to mention like the other two developers that they just picked up are also known for having single player RPGs as well. But they're also very like old school D&D, like the type of games that are more like Baldur's Gate and the original Torment. I mean, I guess technically in Exile made a Torment, Numeria or whatever the new Torment game is. I don't know. And I don't mean to like belittle these acquisitions. It just doesn't necessarily. I'm still waiting for them to acquire a studio that's going to make a huge, like a huge AAA game that they can hang their hat on.
Yeah, because so far it's mostly stuff that is predominantly played on the Xbox anyway. Because I'm not sure if you checked out Neverwinter Nights, but I think they did have something on a Sony system, but it's mainly like Xbox stuff.
Well, Neverwinter Nights was mostly, I'm pretty sure the majority of people playing Neverwinter Nights
was PC, but
yeah. And so that's maybe like the big annoyance for me is that if they continue to like move all of these games from Steam to Windows Store, like that's I mean, I'm not alone in this. A lot of people do not like the Windows Store, and the Windows Store is kind of broken right now anyways, from what I remember reading this week. So there's definitely something that goes without saying that, like, if you can't acquire games on platforms like GOG or other venues like that too, you're also going to potentially miss out on a lot of deals and things you could get through Humble Bundle and you know, all of those like third party companies as well.
I could dig it. So they're just slowly stealing the market share from PC to leave it on their own platform of PC rather than being on Steam.
Which maybe is a smart move in the long run, yeah.
No, yeah, I can actually see that as making a lot of sense. I'm thinking about it from like a console gamer's point of view, and it's not really affecting it's not shifting the console exclusivity very much.
Right.
It also gives them some footing to compete with Steam just a little bit on PC game sales.
There was some Sony news too. So enough ragging on Microsoft. Sony announced that they are not going to have the PlayStation Experience, or at least really any sort of presence from this. Oh, actually, all right. Let me step that back. It sounds like their presence at E3 is going to be very diminished. They might still have booths up, but we're not. It sounds like they're not going to have an E3 show.
Are they going to start their own Sony conference now?
Well, no, it sounds like they're not going to have a Sony conference either. And, oh gosh, what is the current president's name at Sony, or specifically PlayStation?
Mr. Sony.
Yes, Mr. Sony basically went out and said, Mr. Sony PlayStation, Mr. PlayStation went out and said that they don't want to do a showcase and, you know, generate hype that would ultimately let players down.
No, that makes sense, and it's probably a smarter move for them because their press conferences are just now, what are we doing next console cycle? Because, you know, I think the PlayStation 2 era was going on when they announced Kingdom Hearts 3, and now that they've also, I want to say, pretty much not scrapped / delayed the remake of Final Fantasy 7 from the last time I heard. They've pretty much scrapped / in development hell right now is the Final Fantasy 7, and there was some other game that got out of development hell.
So that was kind of oldish news, the development hell with Final Fantasy 7, but more notably, they basically took it out of the hands of CyberConnect, and it's now being worked on more in-house. But that's been some time ago. They more recently did announced that they're basically canceling the second run of Final Fantasy 15 DLC. So I believe they're going to release the second or the upcoming episode, which I don't have too many details on on the DLC just because I have been avoiding any sort of spoilers for myself as I play through Final Fantasy 15 myself. But they basically said that they, and they didn't really give the details into exactly how they were calculating this loss, but they were basically determining that there was a $230 million loss as a result of Final Fantasy 15's canceled DLC. So I don't know if that meant like they are avoiding the like a potential $230 million loss, or if it's just the DLC in general has lost that much money, or if they're losing that much money by cutting their losses and halting the development on these final three episodes.
Did Final Fantasy have a season pass? Is that affecting those guys?
I don't think it did have a traditional season pass. So
okay, that's good, because the way life is going right now, it's like, never get the season pass, just always buy, spend the extra $10 that you're going to end up spending.
Yeah, because you don't have a guarantee that everything's going to come out.
Oh, they did have a season pass.
Did it actually cover the last four episodes?
Holiday pack. Gladius episode, Ignis, Prompto, multiplayer expansion.
I guess what I'm saying is I don't think there was a way to actually get the final four episodes, one of which will still be released.
Or were those just the Elm 3?
But the other three are not, or have been canceled. Okay. So what have you guys been up to this week?
So yeah, the weeks have been going by faster and faster for me lately. Just been doing a lot of troubleshooting. For whatever reason, the Spark Maker, the new 3D printer I told you guys about last week, its software wasn't working on my computer, so I tried to download it on Lizzie's laptop, and it still wasn't working. It was like booting up the program itself, but if you've ever seen 3D modeling or 3D printing, 3D printers programs, mm-hmm. there's usually like a floor that says, hey, if you insert a model here, this is where the bottom of the printer is going to be.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't showing up at all. So I've been doing a lot of troubleshooting with that, and then I ended up booting up my old laptop today and tried to download the software on that, and it just works. And I was like, okay. So I got some 3D printing from that from now on. Sold my PlayStation VR. I think someone's coming by today to buy the old 3D printer. So I'm now officially a VR-less house. There is no VR in this house anymore. So that excites me for 2019 for the Santa Cruz or the Quest, Oculus Quest, when that comes out next year. But yeah, just been chilling out, playing video games. What you been up to, Scott?
I started my novice hockey league. I can't remember if I brought that up last time or not, but I've had my first match. Earned my MVP visor, which I'll have to give up later today because I'm willing to bet. Not going to earn it twice. But that's been a lot of fun. Otherwise, as far as other interesting and exciting things, I don't know. I've finally perfected my pancake recipe that I've been working on. I was having an issue with these like wheat flapjacks I was making. They were not getting fluffy enough inside, and I finally got them to a point in which they were getting fluffy enough, and I had to give up on using my cast iron skillet to do it and switch back to a nonstick pan.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So what's the reasoning behind it?
I feel very disappointed that I cannot come up with the like scientific explanation as to why they are gooier when I use the cast iron skillet, but I think it is just that no matter what temperature I try and manage on the cast iron, the outside of the pancake cooks faster than the inside. Like, the heat transfer is primarily happening to the outside. So they get crispy on the outside, which is really nice. And they have, you know, a great like flavor because of the seasoning in my pan, but the inside just never gets heated well enough, and it doesn't matter how low or how high I go, I always end up with it a little bit goopy. Meanwhile, with the non-stick pan, they just seem to, I think maybe because there's less like natural, like there's no oil or moisture in the nonstick pan versus the cast iron, which, you know, the oil and the seasoning like comes out of the pan when you heat it. The pancakes are essentially like less moist, and therefore they dry out a little bit faster when I cook them. I can also cook them at a little bit higher heat with that, and they won't burn. But it's nice. I'm finally not eating pancakes with a little bit of dough in them, which is unpleasant.
I can dig it. So, quick question for the non-hockey player in the podcast.
In the room. Yeah.
What is a power play, and how many have you done and completed to make yourself the MVP?
Oh, that's a great question for someone who probably knows more about hockey than even I do, because I am the I'm the definition of novice in the novice league. But a power play is normally when the opposing team has like one of their players in the penalty box, and so you essentially have a numbers advantage on the ice. There can't be a power play if you have it would be 5-on-5 on the ice, but let's say somebody slashes or high sticks or something, they get sent to the box on the opposing team. Then the team that has the numbers advantage essentially is working on a power play. If they score on it, I don't know if that's what designates it as a power play, or just that condition in which someone's down constitutes a power play. But you essentially get to play a lot more aggressively, because you can pass to somebody who's always open, because there's not going to be enough people to cover man-to-man.
If either team also takes Baron or Elder Drake, Elder Dragon, that's also considered a power play?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to be a little bit more cautious than in league because of the offsides rule in hockey. You don't want to do it while any of your teammates are on the opposite side of the blue line in the opponent's zone.
And if Baron Nashor happens to break the ice of the hockey rink, it also makes the game basically unplayable at that point.
Yeah, you end the period and you bring out the Zamboni.
Thank you.
No problem. Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. I've spent the time that I've had free when I'm not watching the dog while Sierra's out of town to go to the ice rink and practice skating a little bit more, because probably the hardest thing for me right now is skating competently backwards against someone who's skating forwards, which is like, that's tough. And I'm not at that level of mobility yet, so I'm working on it quite a bit, and making sure that I don't do the thing that happens in all sports with like handedness or footedness, is I'm trying to make sure that I'm not becoming like too right hand or right foot dominant on how I move.
I could dig it.
Yeah,
Neil, you're not working as much now, I think.
Yeah.
What you been up to?
I went to a company outing and or a work outing, and speaking of athletics like hockey, there was a punching bag machine, or not a punching bag per se, but the punching ball thing, if you will.
Yeah, where you hit it and it measures how hard you can hit.
Yep. And out of 1,000, I was consistently getting 920.
So holy shit.
Felt pretty manly about that. Although, like, it did come to my realization that, like, getting that amount of score, I also think that machine might have been on the lower side, but like most people were not hitting 900, and it occurred to me just watching them that the trick to those things isn't so much how well you can actually punch in a fight, but just knowing how to carry your body's kinetic energy through your fist.
Yeah, and hitting the bag lower as opposed to higher, so you have more of that, like, I guess, torque as it swings back on its trigger or whatever.
It's like making sure you have a hook into it. So like if you hit the bag at like a reasonable height, but then aim slightly downwards, you can also like let your body's falling force
carry
go
through.
into the target more, and also that will ensure that like the force is going to carry directly into the target too. But like, man, my arm is so sore from that, like after like maybe like the sixth or seventh punch, I was starting to think maybe I was going to break my wrist and knuckles by continuously doing this. I also realized that I think fighting game cabinets have basically gone extinct in Omaha, because I, aside from like the Beercade or Barcade, cannot find a single cabinet anywhere.
Oh, go to the new Family Fun Center. Last time I was in there, though, they had some fighting arcade cabinets. Or, you know, we could just all go in on an arcade cabinet for $2.99 at Walmart.
You talking about one of those miniature ones? Those seem like garbage.
No, actually, they've got a full-size one as well.
Really?
Yeah.
There's actually a really cool custom cabinet maker. Well, not anywhere close, but I'll have to send you guys a link to it.
If you get me the TV and like the electronic parts and everything, I can make you a cabinet.
Can you make me the custom decals that have fancy ramen sloshed all over the place?
Yes, I can. And I don't know why, as soon as you said that, my first thought was like, literally, we went out to Jinya and we also got like different ramens from around town, and quite literally threw fancy ramens just all over the arcade cabinet and let it dry and harden there. And I was like, gross.
Wait, did you say you did recently go back to Jinya?
I have. I think the last time we went to Jinya was the last community day. So not this most recent one, but during the Beldum.
Were you the one telling me that Jinya is probably the best ramen in town?
Yeah.
I'll give it another shot.
Okay. For the actual ramen and not the other things?
Well, so I got... So Tiff, when I went the first time, I got the Tonkotsu Black, and it was fine. It was okay. But the Takoyaki is actually... Yeah, we've talked about this. Anyways... what video games have you guys been playing?
I got Pokemon. Spent the $100 on the extra Pokemon Plus Ball, which is nice and weighted. What was that?
And the free Mew, right?
Yep, and the free Mew, because that's locked behind a paywall, unfortunately. But no, I've been enjoying Pokemon Let's Go Eevee. I just beat Lieutenant Surge and now have my full starter Pokemon set. So I've got Eevee, Pikachu, I guess he's Charmeleon now, Squirtle, and Ivysaur.
Oh, wow. So you get all the starters.
Yep.
This is very much just yellow version then.
No, it is very much yellow version.
Except you can't fight wild Pokemon.
You can't fight wild Pokemon.
You are fighting them. I mean, you are hitting them with these balls just over and over until they submit.
Pretty much. So I will say, with the not actually fighting wild Pokemon, it's kind of a weird thing to get used to, because as you catch Pokemon, your Pokemon start to slowly level up and gain experience by you just catching a Pokemon,
which is weird.
Nice.
Do you have to catch a lot to level up? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
It's relative to the level, but yeah, no, you're not just going to catch a Rattata and level up. It's kind of like shared experience as if you killed said Rattata. And then it goes into, instead of a box inside of a computer, it goes into a box that you actually carry on your hip.
Oh.
So you can actually quick swap in and out. And then you can also send Pokemon to Professor Oak for candies still. So they kept the grinding Pokemon for candy mechanic. I hit a trainer up in one of the cities, and she was like, ooh, do you want to trade a Rattata for my Rattata? And I was like, sure, what's this going to get me? I was like, oh, it's the Alola Rattata. That's cool. So you can trade for the Alolan Pokemon, so even pulling things out of Pokemon Go, which I'm not far enough in to do that yet. But I will say, if they scrap pretty much everything else in the 2019 version of Pokemon, I really hope they keep the mechanic that they've got right now for encounters of wild Pokemon, where they're literally just living out in the world. You see them like spawn out of the like tall grass, and they're walking around for a couple of seconds before they go back into the tall grass and something else spawns.
Oh, okay. So if you see something rare, you want to chase it down then?
Pretty much. So okay. it's not a random encounter in such a way that, oh yeah, I've got to use these repels in order to not have to fight any Pokemon. nah, you just got to juke. It's fine. And then you can, like, shiny Pokemon actually appear in the overworld themselves as shiny. So you don't have to battle every single Pikachu to get that shiny Pikachu that you're looking for. So yeah, so I really hope they keep that. I think that's all I've been playing besides... I recorded an unboxing that I need to dub over and do a little bit of editing for the Let's Go. So I'm hoping to actually get that out next week.
Unboxing.
So, yep.
I remember the last time we tried to do that.
Man, that was... Was that the PlayStation?
It was the Switch.
No, it was the Switch, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
We either ran out of battery or ran out of memory.
Something ran out of something, and it was just like, yeah, this isn't going to
And then
happen.
We ran out of patience.
My patience ran out immediately when that happened. I was like, nope, not going to happen.
Pretty much. But yeah, so... Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Pokemon. The catching mechanics is nice. The Pokeball itself is a nice size. It weighs more than you would think it would weigh.
20 pounds.
Pretty much. Okay. It's got a nice little feature. The joystick itself is the middle of the Pokeball. It lights up. Pushing it in is the A button. There's a button at the top of the red part of the Pokeball. That's the B button. And usually if you're doing something with the Pokemon game where you need to push like Y or something, it's just shaking the Pokeball. Yeah, it's weird. I like it.
If it's intuitive, I mean, Pokemon doesn't require much more than a like enter, escape, and directional inputs.
So then it's like, oh, I want to check out this Pokemon's moves. Shake controller. Or do Eevee's super special, awesome, guaranteed hit move that she has apparently. Or I guess my Eevee's a female, so that she has apparently. I was like, okay. I haven't not had the chance to try out the two-player mode yet. I did accidentally shake one of the Joy-Cons, though, like 20 minutes before the thing and could not figure out how to turn off the two-player mode after that. But I want to actually sit down with Lizzie and actually go through and do that. It looked like the other Pokemon trainer had a Charmeleon at that point. That's pretty much all I've been playing. Call of Duty got an update. Yay!
Fallout 76 released.
Did anyone bite the bullet on that?
That's not biting the bullet. That's letting the bullet drive through your teeth into your medulla and end your sad existence.
I've heard bad things, yes.
I haven't heard a single good thing about it. And I was very nervous and skeptical about its success pretty much since its inception.
I was hoping this was what was going to get me into Fallout. Because I was like,
it might not. It may permanently repel you. I haven't found anything nicely written or reviewed about it yet.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I get to play Fallout with my friends, which is always kind of like a plus for me. But yeah, it just hasn't looked that interesting. It
hasn't looked like anything to some people, referring to how buggy it is.
The best looking game of 2008, one of these comments says about Fallout 76.
Maybe the patch tomorrow will fix everything and we'll all feel bad.
I'm thinking it's going to be more in the realm of a No Man's Sky, where it could be hot garbage forever, or there could be a patch where people who bit the bullet earlier finally like, hey, this almost seems like they've made it playable. I better check it out again.
Dude, they just released The Abyss for No Man's Sky.
Fallout 76 players launch 3 nukes at once, crash server.
Nice. Ooh, but PC gamer.
Maybe it's what they wanted. Mutually assured destruction. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been playing anything besides a lot of League, which Neil would probably be surprised to hear after how bad I played this morning. But
that was fun. I haven't played AD Carry in quite a while, so I found myself making like the typical vain mistakes, tumble into your death. Yeah, it's whatever.
Oh, video games.
Well, I was going to update you guys. I don't know when I'm going to finish Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, it's going to take a long time. I've put in a lot to that game, and there's still I don't even know if I'm on chapter 4 yet, and there's apparently at least 5 chapters.
I have just like started to slow down with it, much like the gameplay has been from the beginning slow. While I've been playing some other games, I've already talked about like CrossCode and
Tic-Tac-Toe.
Yeah, and Tetris and etc.
I am sad. I'm not playing Tetris. I'm not going to get the new Tetris game because I just sold the PlayStation VR. That does make me sad. But yeah, I have been playing that game, that Red Dead Redemption game.
You should tell us about your experience.
So as I mentioned to you guys in the chat earlier this week, that was by far the best drunk scene ever. Did you actually get to play it, Neil?
No, I haven't.
Oh my god, it is. It's the best, and it's quite literally, I don't know how shit-faced drunk you've ever gotten, but if you get super shit-faced drunk, that's kind of how your night goes, looking for friends and losing friends, and it's just a nice, wonderful montage, so much so that I was laughing out loud while playing it. Then that night, when you told me about it, about going gold, Scott, on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually Googled someone doing that mission and going gold, and me and Lizzie were just dying with the Lenny on Lenny action.
It was one of, that particular part of the game, I think, is when I realized that I was very happy that I had purchased the game, because I was just like, this is the kind of experience and just unbridled joy that I haven't enjoyed in a bit of time, at least playing a video game. And yeah, I just thought that also signaled a real hopeful note that there's going to be a lot of creativity in all of the missions in the game. And so far they've been okay. I think more and more devolving into gunfights at the end in it. But ultimately, I'm happy that the game's taking a more creative approach than just, I can only think of one main mission I've done that's a bank robbery. So I'm happy that it's not, I've robbed 3 banks in 3 different towns, and voila, that's the game. It is very diverse, which is nice.
Super nice. And for those who don't know, the mission is called A Quiet Night. I'm not gonna say spoil yourself on it, but it is just a delight to even just watch.
Yeah, if you're not going to play the game, I'd agree. It's worth checking out.
It's just oh yeah, there's a... Lizzie's like, are they about to get into a fight? Wait, what? Yeah, you're just drunk, and it's just one wild, crazy party.
Yeah.
I love it. And then I actually ran into Lenny a little bit later in the story. Just in the game, in the overworld.
Yeah.
And I say hi to Lenny, and Lenny says hi back. And then then he goes, hey, what happened to you the other night? He's like, I don't know, man. It was so drunk. I just woke up in jail.
Yeah. You actually, it's so great because they harken back to it at least another time, even further ahead, where Arthur invites Lenny, you want to go have another night of debauchery? And Lenny's like, I don't know if I ever want to have another night of debauchery. And it's way later in the game. So it completely caught me by surprise that there was still this moment that these two had bonded over that was going to keep coming up in dialogue versus having a one-off reference to it later. Rockstar has done a really great job of writing the character interactions to be very organic and to really kind of lean on the bonds that you forge with these other characters in the camp.
Oh yeah. So I just for that one mission, that is going to keep me at least coming back to do a story mission at least once every couple of days.
Yeah, the story missions on average don't disappoint, which is also nice.
And I took your advice, and that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm just okay, there's a big yellow dot around here. I'm going there. All right, there's a white dot here, so I'll go there because it's near this yellow dot. And it's nice just to see where I'll end up.
So when you guys die, have you noticed how much money you lose when you're killed or captured? Well, if you're captured by the law, then you just pay the fine. But have you noticed any pattern with successive deaths and how much money you lose?
Do you lose money when you die?
You sure do.
Yes. And I've only died So I lost my first duel with the tutorial duel, just like a random stranger. And then I lost my second duel, but that was like weeks later with the one dude I was talking with, and he threw a knife at me, and that wasn't very good. But I do not remember how much money I lost. I think I scum saved that second one.
Mm.
What's the verdict?
I'm thinking that it works on a like ratio of how much wealth you have, because I got to a certain point in which I was very rich in the game compared to earlier standards, where I thought like I had close to a grand, and I'm like, man, I'm wealthy as shit. And then I had like 5 grand, and I was like, oh my god, I don't know what to do with all this money. I'm a billionaire by Wild West standards. And then I got killed by some bounty hunters, and I lost several hundred dollars after that. Which,
ouch.
Yeah, it hurts. So the game almost feels like it incentivizes me to keep less money in my pocket at all times. So,
well, you got to be donating to the camp.
Oh, sure. I donate a lot to the camp. I've bought a lot, if not most of the upgrades, but, I would not like be reticent to spend your money on gun upgrades and just customizing shit and like nice clothes, because honestly, you might get to a point where you just have so much money that if you're not spending it on something, you're losing a bunch of it if you die on some of these like harder portions of the game.
I just assumed when you died, it just started you back from your last save point. Is that not the case then?
No, if you get like jumped or robbed, you definitely lose money and you wake up in a similar area after the like random event has occurred. If you get captured by law enforcement, I think you leave from the jail with however much less money
those,
your bounty
those
is.
Make sense. But if you get shot in the head and you get the dead screen, don't you think like that would just restart you as opposed to giving you like a monetary fault or drop? Or
it's more like Borderlands. You have to pay quite a bit of the Western double dollars to resurrect a new Arthur clone.
Pretty much. It I did get eaten by a bear, so yeah.
And the bear stole his wallet.
Damn bears.
I think penalizing the player makes sense, especially if you're getting jumped or caught. But getting killed, it doesn't make sense to penalize you from a monetary standpoint. I think the penalty is the fact that you have to wait an hour for the game to load back up.
I guess like I haven't just jumped off of a mountainside to see if when I hit the rocks that I lose $40 from my pocket as I land. So I'll actually have to come back to you with some field research on that. But I do know when another character kills you, you definitely end up being looted.
Doesn't make sense to me. This feels like the type of game that if it were on PC, I would be 50 times happier.
Why?
Because like my PC, either of my PCs are stronger than my PlayStation 4. Lower load times, overall funner experience, especially with the ability to like alter physics and so forth further. Assumingly after I beat the game, like you know what people do in GTA 4 and 5 on PC, like replacing human sprites with horses and other animals.
No, yeah, it makes sense. Wait, isn't not on PC?
Not yet. Just like in GTA 5, they didn't release it for PC until like a year or so later.
Yeah, it was almost exactly a year.
No, I guess that makes sense.
It's a smart business practice because like I've a lot of these games that had delayed PC releases, I've purchased multiple times.
Yeah, I mean, Monster Hunter did that as well. They had the PC release 8 months later, but I bought it on PlayStation because I was tempted to play it early versus wait a while. It's a good move for people who have both consoles and PCs because I've definitely been willing to throw down maybe not full price, but a discounted price to buy the same game on my PC versus my console. Just ask the like 4 times I bought Dark Souls 2.
My God.
Yeah. Well, Scholar of the First Sin came out, so then I had to buy that, and that just mucked everything up.
I'm still debating on whether or not I'm buying another copy of Diablo 3.
Wait, why would you need to?
Because it's on Switch now.
I see. No, you're saving them up for Diablo Immortal.
That's going to be free. That'll be free, and you know it.
All of the other Diablos you've been playing have actually turned out to be Diablo Immobile.
Just send your $60 into whatever random loot box that Diablo Infinite has for your good item drops.
Pay $40 for the treasure hunter lens, which allows you to see all the treasure in the game. Otherwise, you only get the treasure that you accidentally stumble into.
Oh, I tripped over this rusty broadsword, but it's the only item I've found in 4 miles. Better cart this back to the shop. Well, guys, I'm out of games.
So am I. Wait. Am I really out of games? Yeah, I don't have anything I need to talk about at this point. So if you have comments or questions, you can write into podcast@fancyramen.com.
FT Scott.
Please leave a like and a review on your favorite review platform, whether it is Apple Podcasts or some other app that you use to listen to us.
And most importantly, don't hesitate to send your friend codes for the Pokemon Go and Pokemon Let's Go experience while you tell all your friends about us here at the Fancy Ramen Podcast and join us in a little Pokemon.
Trade Cookie all the Caterpies you've got. He's starting a farm.
I'm totally down with this. Shiny Caterpies for days, guys. Caterpies for days.
Are you finding like a new form or source of protein in Pokemon?
Those candies aren't for human consumption. Oh my God. Professor Oak gave your rival a berry, and your rival started to try to eat the berry, and then Professor Oak was like, stop that! That's not for human consumption. That's for Pokemon.
Wait, rival as in Gary or a different rival?
Blue. You've actually got a different rival. Blue is walking around, and you talked to Blue several times, mm-hmm. and he is called Blue, but now you get to name your own rival, and he's like the nicest guy ever.
Ah, fuck that. I want a rival that I have to like hate and struggle against. I think that there's a conversation there about whether a rival in a game should be a friendly rival or a legitimate rival.
Well, Blue is still an asshole, so you got that going.
Do you That's still fight your rival? Blue?
I have not fought Blue yet. Blue's pretty much just been like, oh yeah, no, I got invited when I was on the ship. It was like,
the SS Anne.
I got invited to the SS Anne for an exclusive party for Pokemon trainers, but the scene blows. I'm out of here. By the way, here you go, Cookie. Here you go, Chris. My rival's name is Chris. My character's name is Cookie.
An internal struggle.
Pretty much. So he's like, here you guys go. Here's some items. Go be noobs.
What level of customization do they allow for your trainer? Is it just boy girl?
It's black boy girl, white boy girl, middle toned boy girl.
Okay.
Middle toned boy girl.
Okay.
My favorite ethnicity, middle tone.
My favorite, middle tone.
One's a little on the Asian middle tone, one's a little on the Hispanic middle tone.
Okay, that's good. I was wondering about that because I've obviously only seen the white trainers, and I was like, haven't they fixed this already? Where you
don't worry, you don't get different hairstyles. But my Eevee is dressed up like a Pokemon trainer, and I'm dressed up like an Eevee. So that's fun.
So you're a furry.
I wish. God, I wish I could be on Sonic Fox's level. He's he plays fighting games.
He's a fighter.
You know, Echo
yeah.
Fox, his sponsor is his
Echo
team,
Form,
whatever the heck you want to call it. They dropped a shit ton of fighting game players from their roster. Is he still on it?
Yeah, no. Sonic Fox is still a part of Echo Fox, and so is, oh God, the Asian. I forget his name.
The Asian.
Wow.
All right. I'm Neil.
I'm Cookie.
I'm Scott.
Have a good night or day, everyone.
I love you. Bye-bye.